It's Father's Day, and I'm sure most of you have heard me talk about my dad enough, so I'm not going to belabor the point too much. But, it's at the same time really easy and really hard to talk about my dad. It's really easy because he is an amazing man. He is devoted, he is honorable, he is wise. He's just plain better than most men, and I would say that objectively even, I think, if I could. But it's at the same time kind of hard to talk about him because once upon a time, I was a teenager. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that he was doing a lot of things right. I didn't see what he was doing right. I didn't see all the ways he did everything he could to give us what we need and how much he sacrificed for that. I didn't see that. Because I was a teenager and, teenagers, no offense to any teenagers. But a common malady for teenagers is to think they know a whole lot more than they actually do. Well, I'm 16, 17, 18 years old. I have lived some life. Nope. And it really does take living some life and going through some experiences and going through some hard times yourself to realize all the things that your parents really do for you. And so I regret that time that I didn't take advantage of living directly under my dad and learning from him at that time that learning was easiest. Now, I got a lot of opportunity to learn from my dad. I did my internship in college under him, being a music minister at my dad's church, and things like that, but I never, for those years, appreciated how awesome my dad is, and that's unfortunate. Now, that's not to say that my dad never made mistakes. He did, and does. And he even made mistakes in ministry that I think that I've been able to learn from, which is good. But my dad is a really good dad, and he deserves to be honored. He deserves to be appreciated. He deserves to be celebrated. And that's really what today is about, isn't it? Remembering and celebrating the things that our dads did or are doing for us. There's one passage when you talk about parents in the Bible, one passage that usually comes to mind, and that's Exodus 20, verse 12. And that says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." It's pretty simple. Pretty easy to understand, but as is my usual pattern, I feel like there's more that's being said than how we usually look at this passage. There's more that's being said here than what we usually think about. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. What is this really talking about? Honor your father and mother. Usually when you hear this passage, it's used to show kids that they need to be obedient to what their parents tell them to do, right? Honor your father and mother. I heard that a lot growing up. God wants you to obey. That's true, but there's more to it than just that. There's more to honoring than just being obedient. There's more to honoring than just the time that you're living under your parents' house. What does it mean when it says honor? Let's look at the original word. because that's often what you have to do when looking at the Bible. But the original word is a Hebrew word. It's called, it's chabed. Now, repeat with me, cha. No. chabed. And the Strong's lexicon defines it as a primitive root, to be heavy, that is, in a bad sense, burdensome, severe, or dull, or in a good sense, numerous, rich, or honorable. Causatively, to make weighty in those same two senses. So the real point of honoring your parents must be to feed them lots of fried food and cake so that they become heavy, right? I mean, that's what we get from the, no. This is why we have to look at definitions in context, not just the definition itself. To make them heavy, to make them important, to make them look good to everyone else. When it comes right down to it, to honor them. What does it mean to honor them? That's it, isn't it? To make them look good to other people. To make them feel appreciated. To honor them. Do your best at everything you do to make them look good. And I truthfully think that one of the best ways to honor your parents is to continue to mind your manners and be polite. I'm serious. How simple is that? But it does. You know, it shows your parenting. It's funny. And Jamie and I have had a couple conversations about this. But when I see somebody that's rude to me, or is rude to somebody else, and I, you know, when I see that happen, when I see somebody that's rude to a waitress, the first thing that I think is, man, they must have had awful parents. Because my dad taught me to be polite. My dad taught me to be respectful. My dad taught me to defer to authority that's put over me. What did your parents teach you? Whenever we get in too big of a hurry, every time we let our temper go, you know, every time we drive like a jerk, every time we are rude to a waitress, or every time we don't forgive as fast as we should, you know, my dad taught me to forgive. Even when people are rude to me. It's not something either one of us are very good at, but he did teach me to forgive. So every time that we don't do these things, every time that somebody else sees us being impolite or rude, we are dishonoring our parents. Think about that. Now, we don't put as much emphasis on honoring your parents or not dishonoring your family as some cultures do, but it is very important, isn't it? Honor your father and mother. Make them look good. Bless them with praise and with gifts. Hold on to the things that they taught you, no matter what that is. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be everything they taught you about the Bible and about following God, or everything that they brought you to church to learn. Maybe it's just changing a tire in the way your dad taught you to do it. Maybe it's tying a fish hook in the way your dad taught you to do it because he experienced. He knew what he was doing. Honor your father and mother. Honor the things that they taught you. Do the things that they taught you in the way that they taught you. Make them look good. Remember what they taught you. And don't talk bad about them. Because you know what? They were, or they are, just human. They make mistakes. You know, maybe they were just plain not good parents. What do you do? How do you honor a parent who was not a good parent? Honor them with your speech. Maybe you can't emulate them because maybe that's not a good thing. But you can make them sound good, even if they weren't. They're still your father and mother. So we need to honor them with our speech and forgive. I come back to that as well, you know? Maybe they weren't good. Maybe they messed you up. Still need to forgive them and honor them in the way that you can. Maybe the best way to honor them is to forgive them and then forget about them. Not hold that hate, that anger in your heart. We need to honor our parents. The beginning of Ephesians 6 says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth and prosper. So that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. This is the first commandment with the promise. I like that reminder of that. You know, we've all heard of the health and wealth gospels, right? Well, this is the only place that I really see something like that promised. If you want to live a happier, healthier, better life, honor your father and mother. It's interesting. Because it makes you wonder what the why is there, doesn't it? Why is it that you'll live a happier, healthier life if you honor your father and mother? Is it just that God will bless you for doing that? Or is it because, you know what, they lived more life than you, and if you emulate them, if you learn from their mistakes, if you learn from their wisdom, you'll just plain do better? It's interesting. I kind of think it's both. I kind of think it's both. I have this theory, and it's probably a little ridiculous, but I really wonder, and I wish there was some way of doing a study on this, because I really wonder, you know, thinking about how in some families, including my own, there are some siblings who grow up and they work hard and they are successful. Maybe they're not, you know, wealthy. Maybe they're not even overly comfortable, but they're doing okay. And then their siblings go off and they just hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. They fail at one thing after another. They just don't do well. They don't thrive. And remember, they're siblings, you know. They're raised by the same methods. They had the same parents. They're the same race, everything like that. And yet one of them will do well and the other won't. And I would just love to see a study that showed if one of them did more to honor their father and mother. And I have this theory for reasons. But we don't need to get into them. But I do. I really wonder. And, you know, would that study prove me right that those who honor their father and mother do better in life? That they have better chances? That they succeed more? I'm not saying I would guarantee that I'd be right, but I have my suspicions, you know? I have my suspicions because it does say it right there. Honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and mother. Make them look good. Praise them. Tell them how much you appreciate everything that they did for you. But you see, the thing is that parents don't get off that easy. I may say over and over, honor your father and mother, but you need to do a good job of being somebody who's worth honoring, don't you? The Bible gives a lot, actually, of advice about how to be a good parent. And, you know, if it's God's word saying how to be a good parent, then it's probably the most excellent way, right? I've compiled a bunch of them, of passages that talk about how to be a better parent. And so I'm going to read those to you. And then at the end, I'll also give you a couple that may not deal directly with parenting, but I think they belong as well. First off, Deuteronomy 4, 9 through 10. And it says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, and he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children.'" Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. "These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." I'm going to pause there for a second. Have you ever had those passages of scripture that just are, you know, tied to your heart? You know, when you read them, you just feel every time. Write them on the door frames of your houses. There are a couple like "Do Everything Without Grumbling or Griping" that I really should have above my door as I leave the house every day. I still just haven't done that. But, you know, there's something about that, to have scripture that you see every single day before you leave the house that reminds you to act and live the way that God wants you to live. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 19. "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Proverbs 19, 18. "Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death." What does that mean? Discipline your kids so they don't end up in prison, right? Make sure that you are teaching your kids the right way so that they don't go off and get themselves killed. Proverbs 22:6, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. If you teach them young, if you bring them and raise them up now, when they're young, whatever, when they grow up, they won't turn away from God." Proverbs 23:13 through 14, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death." Make sure he learns young so that when he's older, he doesn't once again turn away from God. "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." That's Proverbs 29:15. 29:17, "Discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will be a delight to your soul." And then, once again, still in Ephesians 6, or going back to Ephesians 6, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Don't break their spirit. Something I have to remind myself of pretty often. Have you ever met Addie? She's got some spirit. "Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged." Colossians 3:21. And then here's one that I think should be added as well. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Teach your kids the Bible. Teach your kids God's word. But you also need to remember that being a parent means being a teacher, and then you need to remember James 3:1, which says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." You are responsible for raising your kids, and therefore you're responsible for their salvation as well. Yes, they will make their own choices, but you're responsible for bringing them up as best you can so that they will follow God. You are responsible for bringing them up to know God. So don't let them skip coming with you to church. Don't let them skip your opportunities to learn about God from God either. Don't skip your opportunities to learn from God either. Live by an example. Let them learn from you by seeing what you do. Be the absolute best that you can be so that your kids will learn the right way. Do whatever it takes. Part of being a good parent, I think, is honoring your own parents. Learning the good and effective things that they did for you and emulating those things, and then avoiding and learning from their mistakes and emphasizing their successes. Make them look good. Love them. Honor them. Bless them. Make them heavy. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for the parents you blessed us with. We are so thankful for fathers and everything that they teach us. We are so thankful for the best example of fatherhood in you, where even where our fathers may have failed, that you are there and that you are perfect, lacking in nothing. We thank you for everything that you've given us. Help us to be an honor. Help us to honor and make our parents look good. It's in your name we pray. Amen.